pleased to be joined by our NHL insider. The season, I guess, officially comes to an end. It doesn't for you yet. You've got some business to take care of in Las Vegas and, of course, the draft. But I was thinking about this earlier, and we've talked about it. The lull that sometimes hits after an exciting round one, going into rounds two and three. I feel like we didn't have that this year, and maybe it's low. For you, you're traveling and you're doing the whole thing anyway, especially with the Ottawa series. But I think the Oilers kept the temperature high, the Anaheim Ducks and the Predators story, everything. I didn't feel like there was that lull that sometimes takes place.
I would agree with that. And one of the reasons, I think, too, was there were only 2 days off between round one and round two. And I think 1 day between rounds two and three. And, you know, I think the other thing, too, is the city of Nashville deserves a lot of credit. You know, I think, Dean, that sometimes, especially when there's 2 days between all the travel days, travel day games in the Stanley Cup final, that can really slow it down. But I think the story about the way Nashville embraced the Stanley Cup final was really something big. And, you know, when after game three, it's sort of like people came out of the woodwork. Can you get me tickets for game four in Nashville? Or when we knew there was going to be a game six, the same people would text me back and they'd say, okay, I know the game four was too much of an ask because there was only 1 day between games, but now there's going to be 6 days between game four and six. Certainly you can get me tickets for game six in Nashville. And I'm like, no, I can't get anybody tickets. But I think that really helped. And I think you said it right just a second ago. I don't know how much of a lull there's going to be between now and news, because all of these teams have kind of been waiting, and today's the deadline to ask players who have no movement clauses if they're going to wait before the expansion draft.
And I guess we can talk about that. We won't. When do you expect to hear things? Because just because a player waves doesn't mean it's going to become news, but you and your sources will probably be hearing about it. Is that today's news? By this afternoon, are we hearing about guys waiving their no trade?
Well, today you hear if they've been asked. They don't have to answer until Friday. What day is the 19th? Or 18th, I think it is.
Is that Saturday?
18th Sunday. Is
Sunday?
Saturday?
Sunday.
Sunday. I think that's the date where they have to make up. My brain's a bit scrambled right now. I think it's
that's all right.
They've got to make their decision. So you'll start hearing it over the next couple of days as things get out. Like, for example, Ottawa's asked Dion Phaneuf. I don't know what his answer is going to be. Florida's asked Keith Yandle. My expectation is that that's going to be a no, but I don't know for sure yet. You know, I believe Anaheim and Kevin Bieksa are trying to work on something. If he'll waive his no move. So I think you're going to start hearing this trickle out over the next week, and there's going to be trade news too. There's going to be a lot going on. Now, the Vegas trades aren't supposed to be officially announced until June 21st. I believe that's part of the deal, but that doesn't mean, you know, the rumors about what's going on or the news about what's going on won't leak out there.
I guess Pittsburgh does have to ask Marc-Andre Fleury to waive the day after he wins the Stanley Cup, don't they?
Somebody told me, I have to double check this, Ryan. Again, please don't hold me to this, but I believe the two teams in the Stanley Cup final get a little bit of grace.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. I remember that in 1999, Dallas won the Stanley Cup, and their backup that year to Ed Belfour was Roman Turek. And they had an expansion draft issue. And basically at the team party, they told him he was getting traded to St. Louis. So there is, unfortunately, there is history to this, though I do think I believe they get a little bit of grace. But Fleury knows. Like, you know, Nick Kyprios has been on all year about how not all year, but for the last little while, he has said that he's heard there's something between Pittsburgh and Vegas, and now I've heard the same, that they've worked out a deal that he'll be Vegas's pick, and then we'll see where he goes from there. I'm not convinced he's staying.
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of talk about that. Hard to decipher yet. Just going back to the Cup Final, I guess, for a moment. I know you were talking about Sidney Crosby and his place in history, and it becomes undeniable at a certain point. And it seemed like not that long ago, we were having discussions, as many sports radio and just guys would, about the Kings and their two cups, the Blackhawks and their three cups. What's wrong with the Penguins? They hit one cup, and then they're wasting the prime of Crosby and Malkin, and now all of a sudden they're right in that group as well. It's been an amazing couple years for the Penguins.
Well, you know, there is some truth to it, and just in the sense that they weren't going the right direction. I mean, Chicago, in their run, even when they lost, they generally lost late, with a couple of exceptions. I know Arizona once beat them pretty early, but you know, they lost to the Kings in the conference final. Like, they were close. Like, that in 2014, that seven-game conference final was an unbelievable series. Generally, they did not lose early, for the most part. Pittsburgh, they were losing early a couple of times, and they were losing very painfully. And you know, I know, you know, you got to remember that a couple of years ago, when Mike Johnston got the coaching job in Pittsburgh, Willie Desjardins turned them down. Bill Peters turned them down. He chose to go to Carolina instead. I think Ralph Krueger was in that mix. People didn't want to take that job, and Mike Johnston had a lot of trouble there. He had a lot of trouble reaching Sidney Crosby. And so Mike Sullivan comes in when Johnston gets fired, and all of a sudden things started to click. And I think Johnston found a way to reach some of these guys. And I think some of them also said, you know what, like, we got to change because it's not working for us either. And, you know, I think it is amazing when you think about it now. And, you know, I as I said last night, you've got to start looking at everything Sidney Crosby's done and say, okay, the top five is generally some combination of Gretzky or Howe, Richard, and Lemieux. Okay, I think he's in there. I think he is. He is. And you think that this guy missed 2 years basically in the prime of his life and his NHL career. I think he's in there. I just want to know who's coming out. I'd like to see who's going to argue who on that.
Jeez. Bob Bugner unveiled in Florida soon. What does that leave for coaching vacancies, candidates, and how do you like the fit?
Well, I think Bugner is a really good coach. And I heard, and they said this morning, but I heard his interview was incredible. He did a great job. And, you know, Bob Bugner is a pretty impressive guy. Like, he's, when you talk to, when just having talked to him in the past, Ryan, I could see how he would be prepared and ready for an interview. He's got a lot of history with a lot of those players. I think he coached Petrovic and I want to say Pesek in an under-18 before. You know, he knows Zach Blatt. I believe he coached Curtis McKenzie. Like, he knows a lot of those players. He's going to, and I think he's going to be very well prepared, and I think he'll do a great job. You know, I think what it means in Buffalo is it's probably Housley or Tocchet. They become the favorites.
Yeah, I here again, right? Buffalo looking for a coach, first-time GM, and looking at first-time head coach as well. Maybe that's what they need. I
wouldn't be surprised for that reason, though, if Jacques Martin is in the mix.
Yeah,
I mean, Scott Arneal's been interviewed there. He's been a head coach before. Who else? Craig Berube's been interviewed there. He's been a head coach before. There are some people on their list who are head coaches in the past.
Mm-hmm. Rumors. Now, again, you've been around the media and you've been in Nashville having drinks.
And so people are drinking.
Things come out.
Yeah.
Anything, if not juicy, just what are you hearing on top of Vegas, but what else might be coming down the pipe? Because we've been told this could be the busiest off season in terms of moves that we've seen in a while.
Well, it has a chance to be. There's no question about that. There's a lot going on. I mean, you know, I think Anaheim with their D, you know, a lot of the talk is around Sammy Vatanen. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota with their D. There's Dumba and Brodin. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those two go, and I'm curious about their forwards. To see if they make a move with their forwards. They got a lot of protection issues there. New Jersey, with the number one pick. I've heard they really like defense, a couple of defensemen there, and I'm curious to see if they will move down. Vancouver, there's a lot of teams looking for D, kind of seeing if they can pry Chris Tanev loose. I should say this. I haven't followed that one as closely. I know about a week ago people were talking to them about it. I'm curious to see if anyone is going to step up for that price. Obviously, you guys are looking for a goalie. I think Vegas is the epicenter of it all. I think they're working out a deal with Columbus, most likely for David Clarkson. And they'll get some nice pieces out of that, probably a first-round draft pick and maybe a prospect or two. Tampa's looking for a D. I mean, there's a lot going on out there.
So, where are all these D coming from? Just Anaheim and Minnesota?
Anaheim and Minnesota, yeah. I mean, and you know what? I think there's going to be LA, they're looking for a forward. They got extra D. I think there's going to be a bomb or two in this one. I really do. I think we're going to have some things that hit us that we're not expecting. The other thing, too, is Chicago's hosting the draft. I think they're trying to move up. I think Chicago's not satisfied. I mean, it's almost kind of funny. I almost laugh at it. They've gone two whole years without winning a Stanley Cup. But that's why they're the organization they are. They're in it to win it every year, and I think they're going to try some things. So I think it's just going to be, and I'll tell you something else. Noah's really quiet. Another guy who I think is not afraid to pull off big deals is Doug Wilson in San Jose. And he's got a team where, the window is open now. And I just have a feeling he might do something too.
Do you think Thornton and Marlowe are both back there? One of the two? How would you handicap it?
I think it's one of the two. And I think it's more likely Thornton than Marlowe.
Thoughts on Montreal, a team that we'll obviously be watching closely.
Montreal, I don't know. I mean,
just because they always have, like you talk about a window to win.
Bergeron is not afraid. He absolutely is not afraid. It's interesting. Like, Price went in there and I heard his ask was big, and I don't have a problem with that. He's a franchise player, and I think an agent and a player should always start big and then see where you end up. But if you start with a big number, then that means you're getting a big number if you sign. Like, you're coming down $1 million, $1.5 million, but you're not coming down maybe $3 million. So I think Price is, I think that becomes a big question for him. What can he do and how long can he do it for? To me, the biggest question is Galchenyuk. I've heard a lot of rumors that they're going to try to move him. But I think that's probably the biggest one. And if you are trading Galchenyuk, I'm curious to see what he's going to get in return. So I think that's going to be, I think those are the ones to watch in Montreal.
New Jersey picking first. You noted it. They're in desperate need of defense. And Hischier and Patrick are going to be the one and two in whatever order. Who knows? How likely is a trade down scenario, and how far would you be comfortable trading down where you're still going to theoretically get your favorite defenseman?
Well, I think a trade down scenario is possible. I think likely, I think it depends on the offers. All these mock drafts are different, right? Like, that's the one great thing about this year, Ryan, is that, I've told teams will tell you that every mock draft is different. Like, You go through a lot of situations. First of all, you don't know who's going to have the number three pick. You assume Dallas won't have it in most drafts. So who trades in there and what do they want? How do you have each different player ranked? There's a lot of players ranked very differently. I think New Jersey, I think if they know that they can go down and still get like a Makar or a Heskinen, I think they would definitely consider moving down. I think they would.
Hmm.
Thoughts on the Arizona Coyotes? We're hearing about their ownership solidifying in terms of personnel anyway. And all of a sudden, the Bettman Silver NBA NHL conversations on a new building are apparently being had. What's your gut likelihood of that happening?
Well, I think that, you know, at the draft lottery, you know, the news seeped out that was happening in Arizona. I think that this is a big year for them. I really do feel if things don't solidify for their future in the next year, we're going to be talking about the future of the team in Arizona. But I believe that, you know, Barroway is very serious about, I think he has a plan. I think he knows what he wants to do. I thought it was kind of very interesting today when John Shannon reported that Silver and Bettman were involved, because I don't know the owner of the Phoenix Suns, Robert Sarver, but everything I've heard and read about him, and I, you know, Brian Colangelo, when he was the GM of the Raptors, wouldn't talk about him a lot, but he's not an easy guy to make deals with. You know, he's a very, very tough guy to deal with. And I don't think it's easy, and I think it's good news for the Coyotes that it's a Bettman and Silver deal, because I think it might be easier for those guys to do it than it would be for a lot of people to work with Sarver. He's got a lot of guys who worked with him who find him very frustrating to deal with.
Being around the group that you were in Nashville and covering this series, has there been much talk amongst just even you guys, the media guys, about the news coming out of Seattle last week?
A little bit. I think we were caught on, I think we were more, I mean, I saw some things in the last week, especially in Nashville, that I don't think I'm going to forget anytime soon. We talked about it a bit. I think that is a couple of years away. I also believe that the NHL feels it's been burned by Seattle before, and they don't want to get burned again. I think they know exactly what's going on publicly. They keep it at arm's length, which is smart. But privately, I find it very hard to imagine that they don't know what's happening. You know, I'll tell you, that group, the Oakview group that's putting together the renovation of Key Arena, they're the ones who are trying to put a new rink in New York for the Islanders. If they get that done, you know, hey, then they're on the good books. And I still see a chance where the league goes to Seattle in 3 or 4 years. No question about it.
Where does that leave Quebec? I know we're kind of getting well off the beaten path here, but that rink is ready and the ownership group apparently ready as well.
I think Quebec is, like, I wonder if they ever go to Seattle as an expansion process where they go to 33. I doubt it. I think you've got Quebec there in case, you know, and I would love to see an NHL team in Quebec. It's the joke I make, Ryan, that I hate my parents because I was born too late to cover a series in between the Canadiens and the Nordiques. You know, I think that you have them there in case anything goes wrong in one of your current situations for now.
So like a guy in Carolina with his kids suing him and trying to find a minority partner for like a half decade?
You know, every time you mention that, like a wildfire starts, so I'll just let you mention that instead.
That's fine.
Of me.
Yep.
Okay.
How have the wildfires been? I mean, because we had a penchant for getting you in trouble, and then things would not go well. I mean, this has been, what, 4 solid months of no hiccups?
No, it's not true. I just haven't been telling you.
They're oh, I see. Because I thought maybe we've been more well-behaved.
No, you guys have been fine. I never have an issue with you. I go crazy with the people who aggregate their fees. It's ridiculous.
All right. Well, hey.
It's like, you know what? In our business, if we did what those guys did, it would be plagiarism.
That's.
I guess it's okay.
Yeah. Thanks. Safe trip. And we'll talk to you probably close to the whole Vegas thing, if that works for you. Appreciate you as always. Good to have you on our show twice a week. We really do appreciate it, buddy.
My pleasure, boys. So, hey, Mulder, where were you on Friday?
I was in British Columbia.
It's pretty vague.
What were you doing there?
Very little. Eating, drinking, that sort of thing.
Sitting by a campfire?
So just like in Calgary, except you're in British Columbia.
Yeah, except there was, you know, I was making fires instead of taking my kids to baseball. Yeah, That's how it goes. Pretty good.
I'm glad you had a good weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I'm sure it was front of mind for you. Talk soon, Elliot.
All right, take care.
Goodbye. Here's Elliot Friedman.